John Minto. What are you here for today?
Well, we're here to deliver a message to Michael Cullen from a wide range of organisations and individuals around New Zealand who are saying, don't use the terror laws. We've got plenty of laws that cover anything which the police have or any evidence the police have brought out so far. Use those laws, but don't use the anti-terror laws.
A lot of people are wondering what's the difference between using the terror laws and using any other laws.
Well, I think using the anti-terror laws means the New Zealand public is softened up to accept far greater restrictions on our civil liberties than we have at the moment. Because under the anti-terror laws, the government has extended state powers of surveillance over ordinary citizens going about their lawful business. The police and the SIS have had huge additional resources given to them. The number of security intelligence service personnel has increased by 50% in the last 6 years, and their budget's been doubled. All of this, not because New Zealand is a terrorist target or because we have terrorists in New Zealand, but because the state wants to restrict legitimate political activity. What we're looking at here are protests that, legislation that, if it were in place in 1981, would have made many of the protests against the Springbok tour into terrorist activities.
Do you think this has wider implications than purely New Zealand?
Yes, it does. It has implications for freedom of speech everywhere. You know, New Zealand had the opportunity of staying out of this war on terror. We've never been a terror target, apart from the French bombing the Rainbow Warrior. And we don't have homegrown terrorism in New Zealand. We had the opportunity of staying out of that, but the government insisted on passing legislation. They say it was to meet our obligations under the United Nations Security Council, but it's not. It's actually to... that's only 5% of what they've done. The other 95% has been to restrict the rights of New Zealand citizens to engage in lawful political activity, and that is unacceptable in New Zealand. So this affects not just the 17 people arrested 3 weeks ago, this affects the whole community.
The nature of the raids, do you have anything to say about the nature of the raids?
Well, the raids were clearly over the top. They were targeting Māori communities quite differently to the way they targeted the Pākehā who were arrested. I think the association of tūhoe, Māori and terrorist in the same sentence, same sentences from the police at their initial press conference, was designed to send a shiver of fear right through the New Zealand community so that we would accept the new powers and the new laws the police and the SIS have, and at the same time accept a reduction in civil liberties. We don't think that's an acceptable thing for the police to do, and we're here today to tell the government, back off the anti-terror laws.
Given that terrorism is defined as acts that are designed to cause fear in the civilian population and the way in which these raids were carried out, doesn't it seem very much as if New Zealand is practicing state terror?
Well, that's certainly the experience of the people in Ruatoki and right through the community. When people, you know, got home from work on that Monday and the whole media was talking about Māori terrorism and tūhoe, then I think it did send a shiver of fear right through the community. It shouldn't have. We should be learning that what's happened overseas time and time again is that the police or the authorities will put forward anti-terror charges against people, but at the end of the day, very few people are actually charged and convicted on anti-terror issues. It's always minor convictions which occur. In America, for example, 400 people charged under anti-terror laws, but at the end of the day, only 39 of them were actually convicted of terrorist offences.
Thanks very much.
Okay. Yeah.